Welcome to lesson 15, Fix This Next. By now, you already know I'm a huge fan of author Mike Michalowicz. So much so that I've been certified in both Profit First and Fix This Next. I was also an editor of the first edition of Profit First, which led me to being featured in the second edition of the book. Mike's knowledge comes from in the trenches experience. He doesn't just write about business growth in theory. He's built 4 multi-million dollar businesses and lost his fortune twice. So he's been around the block a few times with the battle scars to prove it. Did you catch what I did just there? I set the frame for what I'm about to teach you from Mike's work. And if I've done my job correctly, you'll feel confident and positive about learning what's coming next. At any rate, Mike's work with the business hierarchy of needs in his book, Fix This Next, takes a familiar model and applies it to business in a way that helps you eliminate shiny object syndrome and stay focused on the most immediate need to fix in your business. If you're on the chaotic end of the creative spectrum, you can find yourself with lots of ideas and struggle with what to implement first. Fix This Next gives you crystal clarity on what needs to be fixed in your business first so that you can put your focus there and table your other ideas for later. No more bouncing around trying to figure out what to do. In fact, Mike says that the biggest problem most entrepreneurs face is that they don't know what their biggest problem is, and everything feels like it's equally important. Enter Fix This Next and the business hierarchy of needs. In case you're not familiar, Mike's model is inspired by Maslow's hierarchy of human needs. The idea is that we have basic survival level needs that we must meet before we can address higher level needs like belonging or self-expression. Then, as we ascend the hierarchy, we can be pulled back down at a moment's notice. For example, let's say you're out to dinner with friends, you're enjoying a nice meal, and as you take a bite of food, you suddenly begin to choke. Maslow asserts that a sense of belonging is the last thing on our minds at this point, as our struggle for oxygen, for survival, is our primary concern. Until that need is met, everything else is meaningless. Once it's solved, though, we can resume our social interactions. Mike took this same model and applied it to business. Now, as you look at the business hierarchy of needs, you'll see that the first 3 levels are all requirements for a stable, healthy company: sales, profits, and order. That is, enough systems and processes to keep the business running smoothly without over-systematizing. Mike calls this the get. You have to get before you can give, which are the top 2 levels of the hierarchy: impact and legacy. Now, hear me on this, especially you chaotics and mission-driven entrepreneurs. I'm not saying you can't make an impact from the very beginning of your company. I'm not saying you can't leave a legacy until you have profitability. I'm saying that until you have sales, profits, and order handled, it will be challenging, if not impossible, to be able to sustain your impact or leave the kind of legacy that survives long after you've left the company. Why? Because you need enough cash to be able to do it and do it well. So let's look at each level in a bit more detail. At the sales level, you're looking at the ways you attract and retain customers who become raving fans. Are you delivering on your commitments, and are they delivering on theirs? Are they truly ideal clients, or are you working with anyone with a pulse? Getting clarity at this level helps provide enough positive cash flow so that you can tackle level 2, profits. If you follow the profit first methodology that we've previously talked about, you'll already be moving in the right direction. But profit isn't just about how you allocate your income. It's how you handle existing debt or building cash reserves. When you've got the profit level handled, you're actively working on eliminating debt or only accruing debt that brings a positive return on investment. You've eliminated unnecessary expenses and are appropriately cost conscious. You've also managed to set aside at least 3 months of expenses so that your company can survive a short-term financial meltdown, like a loss of a major client or a temporary industry shutdown. The idea is to get your company to the place where it has enough profit to be more than 1 payday away from closing its doors forever, which is the sad reality of a lot of businesses that try to be more generous than their business model allows. You'll hear more about that when we get to the impact level. But right now, let's look at the order level. By Mike's definition, you've got the right amount of order in place when you, the business owner, can comfortably take a four-week vacation. We talked about this previously when we walked through the Clockwork 4D approach. Can any of the key players in your company be gone for a month and still have the company run smoothly? Probably not at this point. So the goal is to set up redundancies, systems, and processes so that everything is covered. That takes time and a bit of experimentation to find the right fits for each of your team members. And if you're still a team of one, it also means figuring out who that first team member is going to be and what their role will be in your company. So once you've managed the get, then you can focus on the give. And I'll be blunt, not every company cares or aspires to the higher levels of the hierarchy. A local landscaper may not ever have a dream of selling his company when he retires, so legacy means nothing to him, and that's fine. You may not dream of making a huge difference in the lives of your customers, especially if you sell a commodity. That's awesome. If that's true for you, that's fine. Remember, ruthless honesty here. Some people just want to pay the bills and live their lives long enough to retire, and that's groovy. But if you aspire to the higher levels, you need to make sure that you've got a handle on traffic and conversion, then managing your debt and savings, and then creating the right balance of teamwork, systems, and coverage so that you can shift your attention to creating a positive impact and leaving a legacy. Impact is about taking your company's customer relationships from transactional to transformational. It's about turning away people who are not a good fit. If you remember Santa from A Miracle on 34th Street, it's about being Santa and not the emperor from The Emperor's New Clothes. The emperor couldn't hear critical feedback. He thought everything was perfect, even when he was completely vulnerable and exposed. A company focused on impact wants to hear all the feedback so that it can deepen relationships with their best customers and encourage those folks to be loyal for life. Then when you've got that loyal following and you've built brand equity, you can establish your legacy. Remember, Tiffany's been around for over 100 years and changed hands since then. But the legacy of what Tiffany stands for remains. Same with Walmart. Sam Walton founded the company, but his children and grandchildren are at the helm now. A company focused on legacy is focused on building something that outlives the founder owner. And as I've said before, not everybody wants a company like that, which is totally cool. So once you know where your lowest level need is at, you'll want to develop a way to solve that problem. Mike calls it the Omen Technique. Step one, observe what the core need is. Step two, measure your result. That is, decide how you'll know when you've solved the problem. Step three, evaluate possible solutions. This is where you brainstorm options and then pick the one you're going to run with. Step four, nurture your solution through the cycle. And that means once you've decided on your attempted solution, get clear on how frequently you're going to check your results so that you can course correct or pick a new solution if needed. Not every solution is going to work. That's the nature of experimentation. So let's say, for example, your core need is quality traffic. You're not attracting the right kinds of people in enough volume to keep sales steady. So you decide that you need to increase traffic to 100 website visitors per day so that you can get 10 opt-ins every day. That's your target. So you evaluate options and decide you're going to run some Facebook ads to drive traffic to your opt-in page. After a week, you're consistently getting 100 visitors a day, but the opt-ins aren't there. So you decide to set your nurture cycle to a month because you're not sure you've even given it enough time yet. Now, at the end of the month, it's mixed news. You're getting 500 website visitors per day, but you're not getting quality opt-ins. Oops, something's not right in there and you've got to go back to the drawing board. That's the nature of finding the fix. Sometimes you'll hit it out of the park the first time, and other times you'll need to experiment and tweak a little to find the right fix. But you know that once you find the fix, it's handled, and you can move on to the next fix in your company. Because when you look at this example, if you can't get the quality of your website visitors up, you're going to waste a lot of money trying to sell stuff to people who aren't interested in buying from you. Fix the traffic quality problem, and you'll save a lot of money upstream to be more profitable going forward. Hopefully, you can see how the Fix This Next approach actually helps you build a stronger, healthier business by building a stronger, more profitable foundation in your business. In our next lesson, we're going to look more closely at the sales level of the hierarchy as we examine your traffic and conversion. We're digging into your messaging for the problem-aware folks in the customer journey. And I will see you there.